The greatest thing about the Word of God is this. God never uses the Word to scare you. God uses His Word to prepare you. We find this out when we look in Matthew chapter 24. And it's Jesus' disciples is coming to Him, and they've been walking around, and they're showing Him all these different places. And then when they get to Matthew chapter 24, it says this in accordance to verse number 3. Down as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" Now, one of the things He's talking about is Jesus told them, hey, you know, all these buildings that you see established right now and that you give so much honor to, He says, soon all those buildings will come tumbling down. And that's one of the first questions that they asked Him. When will those things be? Then they asked Him this question. When will be the sign or indicator of your coming? And when is the sign or indicator of the end of this age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed, pay attention, that no one deceives you, no one misleads you. Because Jesus already knows that all the way back into the Garden of Eden, that there was an adversary, and the adversary would do what? He would always try to deceive or mislead you off into error. And He says, the same as it was in the beginning, He says, it's the same that it will be when this thing wraps up. And you can look at every time that there was a high, and then there was a low. There was a high, and then there was a low. And at the every low, you will find out that there was opportunities and errors of deception that had crept in. And what most people don't realize is when the adversary is trying to destroy your life, he doesn't do it from the outside. He does it from the inside. It's an inside job. And because it's an inside job, what he will do is he will plant himself or plant people who will yield themselves to him to try to bring about lies, to try to bring about persecution, to try to bring about affliction, to try to come up against you, to get you to silence your mouth, to try to get you to back off of what it is that you believe, to rethink about the things that you said you once held true to, that you will yield yourself and surrender yourself to him. So you got to understand who you surrender yourself to, who you yield yourself to, that's the one who you have given authority or final say over your life. Did you know that God never made anyone serve him? It was always their choice. You have a decision whether you're going to follow God. You have a decision to make whether you're going to surrender to him. You have a decision to make whether you're going to yield yourself to him. When a person comes to the altar, or when the person comes and makes a decision, is to say or confess, I make Jesus the Lord of my life. What are they doing? They're surrendering themselves. They're yielding themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And what you're also saying at the same time when you said, I surrender myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you're also saying, I renounce, I put off, I put away from me the rulership of the kingdom of darkness where the adversary had say in your life, where you allowed yourself to yield to his direction, yield to his plans, yield to his purpose. God says, in the last days, he says, deception will run rampant. And he says, I'm telling you, body of Christ, I'm telling you, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, I'm telling you, all those who've made a decision to walk away from it, don't allow yourself to be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be misled, because these are some of the tactics the adversary is going to use to try to get you to back away from those things that you say you used to hold on to. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 9, it says it this way. They will deliver you up to tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. What is Jesus saying? People are going to begin to deliver you up to the rulers, to the government, And what they're going to try to do, they're going to try to bring tribulations and hardships and try to bring penalties against you. And some of them will even want to kill you. And you will be hated by all nations. Why? What did you do for all nations to hate you? Because you say that you bow to the name of Jesus. Because you said you made Jesus Lord. Now, it's interesting. You could call any other name. Hare Krishna. You can call it you're a Buddhist. You could say you're a Muslim. You could say all kind of things. You could say you're a Hindu, serve millions of gods, all these different things. Nobody has a problem with that until you say, I stand under the banner. I stand under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all H-E double hockey stick breaks out because you say you stand under that name. Because you say that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. Just because you say you are a follower of Jesus, it says all nations will hate you. And then because people are going through persecutions, because they're going through afflictions, because they're going through tribulations, and some people were being killed, many, he said, many will be offended, not at the people bringing the persecution. They will be offended at the one whom they should be submitted and trusting in. They will become offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. They will become offended at the Heavenly Father. They will become offended at the Word of God. The very people who once said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, will become offended because of that name, because of all the persecution and tribulation and trials that are coming up against them. It's a trap. Don't take the bait. Because once you become offended, that word offended means scandali, which is where we get our English word scandal from. Once you become offended, you become trapped. Just like a mouse caught in a trap, he can go no further. Just like a rodent caught in a trap, they can go no further. They can go no further because the trap has them bound. And the adversary already knows. All he has to do is get you into offense and you will become trapped. You will become snared. He knows you will never go any further. Go any further with what? Go any further with the one whom you are offended with. I'll tell you in your personal life, when a husband and wife is offended with one another, something has happened and you have become offended. Now, can I give you a word? You don't have to become offended. Offenses will come. Opportunity for offenses to come. Jesus says that our offenses will come, and woe to the one by whom it comes. But he never said you had to become offended. You and I become offended when we take the bait. And when we become offended, the adversary already knows we are trapped. I tell you, I had a situation happen a few months ago. And some of the people who I never would have thought would have said and done things that they said and did, it came up against me. And when it came up against me, I had an opportunity to become offended. My flesh was screaming. My flesh said, man, you got every right. You ought to tell them where to get off at. You need to go and defend yourself. You need to do this. You need to do that. But this is what my spirit said. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. What do you mean? He says, do you want to handle the situation, or do you want me to handle it for you? I said, Father, I trust you to handle it for me. He says, then you've got to do it my way. Now, every time I saw these group of people, because I had to see these group of people at least 5 days a week, I had to see these group of people. Every time I saw them, the Father said, this is what I want you to do. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to pray for them. Pray for them. I'm praying, all right. I'm praying, Lord, if I can do it and get away with it and don't get caught. No, I need you to pray for them like you would pray for yourself. And when you pray for them like you pray for yourself, it puts me in a position to intervene into that situation. Because if they're offended, coming up against you and offending you, and you become offended at the same situation, who can I use to bring about my will in that situation or circumstance. I won't lie and tell you, it was always easy. The first day, it was by faith. Heck, the first couple weeks, it was by faith, because you're still dealing with the same situations and you're still dealing with the same circumstance. And in their mind, they believe they thought you was down for the count, but they forgot one thing. They forgot who you serve. They forgot whose name you stand under. I stand under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is still Lord of my life, and I will yield myself to him. I will not yield to the offense. I will not allow myself to become offended. I'm going to pray for that individual. I'm going to pray for those group of people, and I'm going to ask God to have mercy on them, just like my brother Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what happened? God did exactly what he said. God vindicated. The truth came out. And when the truth came out, the very ones who was trying to come up to persecute, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to manipulate, were the very ones who got exposed. But had I responded the way that the opportunity or the offense said to respond, I would have been the one looking crazy. Why am I telling you this? Because Jesus is telling you, I'm telling you before it even happens. Afflictions and persecutions, tribulations will come up against you. Some of the people will even want to kill you. He says, but I'm telling you now, don't take the bait. Don't become offended. Because when you become offended, most people don't become offended with the one who's offended them. Most people, when you're talking about members of the body of Christ, become offended with the very one whom they should put their trust in. God, if you're so good, why did this happen? God, if you're so great, why did you allow this to happen? God, why? Do you not think that Jesus ever had an opportunity to be offended? Jesus had people in his own court who came up against him. Jesus had people who said they was committed to him. Heck, Judas walked with Jesus for 3.5 years and still got offended. And when he got offended, it opened up the door for the adversary to slide his deception, to slide his manipulation, to slide his plan to come up to try to kill Jesus. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, became offended with Jesus. Why did he become offended with Jesus? Because John the Baptist was in prison and he believed that Jesus should have got him out of prison by now. And because he hadn't got him out of prison by now, John the Baptist, who was the one who says, This is the one whose latches I'm not worthy to unleash. He says, this is the one who will take away the sins of the world. But when John the Baptist became offended, he forgot about all those things. Why am I saying all this to you? Because offense is the secret sin that's going on that the adversary is using against you and I today, against the body of Christ, to get you out of God's will for your life. Even though God has will for your life is to have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. So even though it's God's will that you prosper and be in health, even at the same manner to which your soul is prosperous, even though it is God's will for you to be the head and not the tail, above only, never again beneath, blessed going in and blessed going out, even though it is God's will for you to be the lender and never again to borrow, even though that's all God's will, if you allow yourself to become offended with the very one whom you should put your trust in, you will never see those things happen in your life. Are you listening to me? He goes on to say, not only will people become offended, he says, but because they are offended, the next thing they will do, they'll betray one another. They'll hate one another. And many false prophets will arrive and deceive many. What's the whole purpose of the adversary? Get you offended with the one whom you should be trusting. Because when he slides his old false apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, when he slides, I call them, snake oil salesmen, when he slides them into play, because you offended, they will begin to say the very things that you already agreed to. So it'd be easy to mislead you because you so offended, you won't be open to receive the truth. When people become offended, they don't not only become offended with Jesus, they not only become offended with God, they not only become offended with God's word, but they also become offended with those who still stand under the banner of Jesus Christ, who still preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, who still share the word of God and give the people truth and show them the way out of their offense. But because you're offended, your heart becomes hardened. And can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? The moment that your heart becomes hardened, your heart does not become hardened only to one person because you only have one heart. You cannot have a hardened heart towards this individual and not think that hardened heart doesn't affect everybody else around you. It does. Even though it seems like in the natural, everything is going smooth as rain. On the inside, it's like a small toxin that's slowly eating you away from the inside out. Remember, the adversary doesn't work from the outside. Adversary works from the inside out. Jesus goes on to say, glory to God. These false prophets, what are they going to do? They're going to rise up and they'll deceive you, lead you into error. Isn't that the first thing that Jesus says you need to be aware of? That when my coming, when you ask, when is my coming and when is the end of this age? What's the indicator? Deception will run rapid and it will cause many to be led astray. He goes on to say, because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, just because afflictions and persecutions and tribulations come, does that mean that you have to give in to them? Nope. Does that mean everybody will go through them at some point in time? Yes. But what happens? Those who endure to the end, those who refuse to waver, those who refuse to quit, those who said, you know what? It don't matter. God, I'm riding with you. I might be crying right now, Lord, but, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it comes in the morning. God, you are the answer. You are the solution. Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the light. No man comes to the Father except by you. And if you don't have the answer, no, I know nobody else has. So I'm going to stick with you to the end. Now, is it always easy? Nope. Did Jesus say it was always going to be easy? Nope. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 16, in this life, you will have tribulations. So while we have painted this picture that once you become a follower of Jesus, you'll never go through anything ever again. That's not true. Even though you're a follower of Jesus, you will still go through trials and tribulations. But guess what? Now you know that you're not walking in it by yourself. Now you know you got the Father, you got the Son, you got the Holy Spirit, you got His Word, you have His name, you have His power, you have all those things on your side. You plus God makes the majority. Not only did He say that those who endure to the end shall be saved, but this is what He said. This gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So what did He say? Even though all these things are going to go on, I'm telling you right now, the answer, the solution to all these trials, tribulations, persecution, people getting offended, people turning away, people giving up, caving in and quitting, He says, this gospel of the kingdom of God's ways of doing and being right, this way of God will be preached in all the nations, in all the world, for all the nations to hear it, and then the end will come. So why does that matter to you and I? What's the big deal? I mean, why? That's great news, but what's the big deal? Because we as a body of believers cannot be silent. We have been too quiet. We have, and I was praying this morning, and one of the spirit of religion is saying, don't say nothing. If you keep your head down, you just blend in, you don't say nothing that much about Jesus, no, nobody's going to persecute you. There's not going to be an affliction that's going to come against you. There's no harm there. They won't know that you're a Christian. And because they won't know you're a Christian, they won't come against you. You won't have to deal with affliction. You won't have to deal with tribulations. But the word of God says, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather stand on the housetop, blowing the trumpet, sounding the alarm, letting people know that Jesus is Lord. He is the King of glory. Letting people know the kingdom of God is at hand. I'd rather tell them how to get out of that situation and circumstances through the power and name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by his word than to sit there quiet as a church mouse and say nothing and think that you may not be dealing with that affliction and tribulation and persecution today, but on the day of judgment. God's going to ask you two questions. What did you do concerning Jesus? And two, why did you not do what I sent you there to do? I gave you a purpose. I gave you a plan. I gave you a strategy. Why did you not do what I sent you there to do? I'm going to tell you what I saw, ladies and gentlemen. 4 years ago, I was praying. And while I was praying, I'm standing on this cliff. And as I'm standing on the edge of the cliff and I see all these people, I believe I was in Florida somewhere with palm trees and because it was all these beautiful trees and everything. And all these people, as far as my eyes could see, I could see them. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs to tell them to stop, to turn, to go back, to turn, to go back. Because behind me, I knew behind that cliff was a lake of fire. And no matter how hard I screamed, no matter how hard I cried, they would not stop coming to the edge of the cliff. And I'm screaming and I'm like, Father, why won't they stop? He says, because the choice is theirs. Your responsibility is to tell them. Your responsibility in accordance to Ezekiel chapter 33 and 7 says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman to the nations, and I will give you a word to warn the people. And when I give you the word to go warn the people, when you go and warn the people, if the people change, turn, then they shall be delivered from their sin. But if the people make a decision not to turn and continue on in the sin, even though I've given you the word, their blood is on their own hands. But if I warn you and you don't go warn them, then they die in their sin, but their blood I'll hold on your hands. Why are we so adamant about not being silent? Because when you're silent, people's lives are at stake. When you're silent and you don't warn the people of what's to come, you are watching them go off into destruction. I'll give you another example. A few weeks ago, the word of the Lord came, Son of man, I need you to go tell this individual this. I said, okay, Lord. I wasn't in church. There was no music behind me. There was no choir. And when he said, give the word of the Lord to this individual, I went to that individual and we was talking. And then I said, and this is what the word of the Lord said. And he said to me, the Lord doesn't talk. And I gave him the same scripture I just gave you, Ezekiel 33 and 7. This is what the word of the Lord said to me. Then I said to him what the word of the Lord said to me. I said, it's your decision what you do with it. But if you continue in what you're in right now, and there's a consequence that's coming, it's going to come, but you won't be able to say to God, I never knew. I'm going to tell you, you may be so mad at me, you want to spit and fight. I wouldn't recommend it. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord says. Why? Because I love you enough to tell the truth. People say, if you love them, don't tell them the truth. That's a lie. If you don't love them, if you really love them, you'll tell them the truth. The word of the Lord says, I will not hold my peace. In Isaiah 62 and 1, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. I will not hold my peace. God says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says in verse 4, for this is good. God's will is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. He says that, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He also says this, glory to God, in Romans chapter 10, number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel, that they might be saved. God's will, plan, and desire for your life. You have people in your life that you desire to be healed, saved, delivered, set free, made whole. Guess what? That's God's will too. That's God's desire too, that they be healed, set free, delivered, and made whole. But they won't know how to do that unless you or I stop being silent and you and I begin to declare what thus says the Lord, because we love them. What did Paul say about the children of Israel? He said this in Romans chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal or a passion for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. What are the false apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors going to do when the people become offended? They're going to come up with their own way of righteousness. They'll come up with their own way to say there's more than one way to get to God other than Jesus Christ. What else? You don't have to go through that church stuff. You know, God understands you had church hurt, so you no longer have to go to anybody's church. That's a lie, because that's not what the Word of God says. A local body fitly joined together. We are fitly joined together, where every joint supplies something to the body. The moment you take your pinky off, if you don't think your pinky is valuable, cut that bad boy off. You will find out real quick how important that pinky is. If you don't think your pinky toe is valuable, cut that bad boy off. You will find out how important that little pinky toe is. If you don't think your eye is important because you don't have the same eyes as somebody else, pluck that bad boy out. You will find out just how important it is. It's the same thing with you and I. When it comes to the things of God, God has placed you in the city, in the community, on the job, in the church that he desired for you to be in, for you to do what? To grow up in the things of God, to teach you, to train you how to be a mouthpiece for God. God desires for you to be bold as a lion, but subtle as a dove. When it comes to talking to people about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, you will not be silent, because you love your family members. You love your friends. You love people enough that you will tell them the truth. And though they have a zeal for God, it's not according to the knowledge of God. And because they are not doing it according to the knowledge of God, they will try to come up with their own ways of righteousness, and not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. And guess what happened? On the day of judgment, Jesus was said to this, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. I never knew you. God says this. People asking, why is all these troubles and tribulations going on in our land? Why is our economy doing this? Why are these things happening with our children? Why is there so many mental issues going on? Why are so many people committing suicide? Why are so many people dying early? Why are so many people on drugs? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? They are the result of something. And Hosea chapter 4 says it this way in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against you, the inhabitants of the land. There's no truth, there's no mercy, there's no knowledge in your land. Because there's no truth, there's no mercy, there's no knowledge of God in your land. Because of those things, this is what's happening. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea will be taken away. He says, now don't let anybody contend or rebuke one another. He says this to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For my people are being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. Because you, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, who should be telling my people the truth, you have rejected the knowledge I have given you. And because you have rejected it, I will also reject you from being the priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their hearts on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. As the priest goes, the people will follow. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. God says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If our gospel is hid, if our gospel is veiled, it's only veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the adversary, the god of this age, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should be shined on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondsmen for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What's he saying? Man, if you remain silent, if you don't tell the people about the gospel, if you don't give people the gospel of the kingdom of God, if you don't share with people about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, if you and I don't sound the alarm and blow it from the top of the rooftops, if we remain silent, it only hurts those who are already perishing because the adversary has blinded their minds, lest they could see or get revelation of the fact that Jesus has already bore their sins on his Calvary's tree. He's already took 39 stripes plus one, that by his stripes they would be healed, not only healed, but made whole. And that by having believing on the Lord Jesus Christ makes them the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, puts them in right standing with him. If people don't have this knowledge, their lives will be destroyed. Destroyed meaning what? They never lived the life that God had already preordained for them from the foundation of the world. And that when it's all said and done, when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, simply because they thought they did good deeds, their good deeds outweighed their bad deeds, that they bought into the lie that others said that there was more than one way to get to the Father. There was more than one way to get to heaven. There was more than one way to receive salvation other than the name of Jesus. They will find out that that was nothing but a lie. And they will have all eternity to think about what they coulda, shoulda, woulda done. But there's no repentance beyond the grave. So what am I saying? Don't become offended. Don't remain silent. Take it to the streets. Take it to your workplace. Don't take the bait of offense that gets you out of God's will for your life. Well, you say, well, what do I do? I mean, you said a lot today, and thank God for what it is you said, but what do I do? Well, in accordance with Romans chapter 10, verses 8 down to 10, it says this. It says, the word is nigh thee. It's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Make this confession with me from your heart, out of your mouth. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I make you the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I make you Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, you pray that prayer of rededication, you pray that prayer wanting to make this day one, I want to welcome you back into right relationship with God, welcome you back into right standing with God, welcome you into the kingdom of God. Well, what do you got to do now? Now, you got to get into Word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. I know faith life is such a place, and we'd like to have you join us every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll hear more words that help you to live this life in abundance to the full until it overflows in practical manners. At Faith Life is where faith and life meet. On behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Night Nation and Faith Life Nation, we want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.